right. Good morning. How you guys doing? Can you hear me? Check. One, two. Great. We got one answer. Excellent. That's good. Hey, welcome. We're excited you guys are here. This morning we don't have a slice of life, so it's good news for you because you get 10 more minutes of me and my talk. So that'll be good. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna preach it. Nice. Man, it's hard to believe. It's August 9th already. It seems like the summer has been flying by. You guys feel like you're ready for the fall? Yes? Yes? I hope so. It's coming right around the corner. It's really close. Well, last weekend, my wife Alyssa and I had the opportunity to do one last sort of summery thing before the fall comes and before our little guy arrives. And it was a family picnic. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of a family picnic. Maybe it's what we've got up on the screen here. But, listen, I'm sure that's a nice view of a picnic, but that's not what I'm talking about at all, okay? I'm talking about food. Lots of food, okay? Something like that, okay? And then definitely it's got to have meats, okay? And then, best of all, a lot of desserts. Many choices of desserts, okay? That's the kind of picnic I love. I can get on board with that kind of picnic. Well, we had that kind of picnic a couple weeks ago. And you know how when you really love something and enjoy it a lot, sometimes you find yourself thinking about it throughout the week. You're just sort of daydream. What is it about that that I love so much? And I found myself thinking about picnics this week. And, you know, I was thinking, what is it about the picnics that I love? Okay? And my love for picnics started early on in life, okay? They were the best. And the reason they were the best is because there was a ton of good food and I had the freedom to choose to eat what I wanted to eat. Like no other situation growing up did I have that, but at a picnic, I was good to go. I had that combination of food and freedom. And it wasn't just me either. I'm not the only strange one there. My brother was the same way. He loved picnics. In fact, the first time my parents gave him an opportunity to choose what he wanted to eat at a picnic, he chose all desserts. And at first, he thought, this is amazing. This is a great decision. But I'm going to spare you some of the details. It was a really bad decision. Bad decision for him and bad decision for the rest of our family because of the situation he created. It was bad. Okay, you know, in a lot of ways, I feel exactly the same as I did when I was like a kid. I love picnics and food and the choice. But you know, that food and that freedom makes it difficult for me to make wise choices. Okay? Now, I've been married to Alyssa for 4 years now, and since we've been married, she's been helping me make wise choices, wiser choices. And the area of food is one of them. She'll give me input every now and then, or just a look, and I know what that means. Is that a wise choice? And you know, in all of this, the problem for me is not that I don't have the information. It's not that I don't know what's a wise choice. The problem is to actually obey that voice of wisdom inside of me, in my head, or in my wife, most of the time. All right, well, this last picnic I did pretty well. I made some wise choices. I ate some fruits and some vegetables. So I'm growing up. It's good. In some ways, it's great. All right, well, we all face choices, right? Some of them are small, like food. Some of them are pretty big. They have more significance. But we all face choices, and the same is true in our relationship with God. And if you've been with us this summer, you know we've been going through this sermon series called Shema, where we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy, and we're trying to see what can we learn about God's heart for His people. And we see that God initiates a relationship by making a covenant, and a part of this covenant is the Mosaic Law. And in Deuteronomy, we see this law listed out for the Israelites. And at the heart of the law is the Shema, which basically says God is one and we should love Him with everything that we've got. And the goal of our spiritual lives is to love the Lord. But loving the Lord isn't just a feeling or an emotion. It means being faithful to the things that He asks. It means choosing to obey Him. And so this summer we've been looking at a bunch of these different commands and what has God told the Israelites, a bunch of different areas of life. How can we have a pure heart for the Lord? What does it look like to love and serve others? Faithfully worshiping the Lord, celebrating God's goodness, living under authority, pursuing justice, mercy, having compassion. And we've seen that in all of these areas, the Israelites have been given the information. They've been given the law. But they were also given a choice. Would they choose to obey God or not? Well, today we're going to be wrapping up this series, and we're going to be looking at a place where the Israelites have a really clear choice. But before we get there, let's just pray for this morning. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for this opportunity to be together and to look into Your Word, to look at the book of Deuteronomy, and even just this idea of having a choice. And I just pray that this morning would be one that You speak to us, that Your Spirit moves, that You help each one of us know what we can do to choose to obey You. We pray this in Your name. Amen. All right, well, I want to set the stage for you a little bit before we jump into the reading. By this point, the Israelites are about to enter the Promised Land. In fact, they're in Moab, which is literally across the river from where they were entering. And Moses is an old man, and he knows that he's about to die. God had already told them that he wouldn't be entering the Promised Land, so there they are about to enter. He knows what that means. And he's about to commission Joshua, a new leader, to take his place for Israel. But before he does that, God asks him to call the Israelites together so that he can renew his covenant with them. And so we see all Israel standing there together, and Moses gives them this final speech. He begins by reminding them of God's faithfulness and what they'd seen him do in their midst, freeing them from slavery, providing for their needs in the wilderness, giving them the law. We see his faithfulness to them in the midst of their unfaithfulness in return. And that brings us to where we're going to pick up the text here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. It says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." And in these first few verses, we see a couple things. The first is that God made his will clear to the Israelites. It's easy for us to take that for granted, but before God gave the law, that wasn't necessarily the case. The people didn't necessarily know what God wanted of them. It was a bit of a mystery. But now, in the law, God made it clear how he wanted the Israelites to live. And this leads to the second thing we see, that he did it so that they could obey him. The purpose of the law was an information. In verse 14, we saw it said, "It's in your mouth and heart so that you can do it." The law gave the Israelites an opportunity to wrestle with their obedience. Would they obey God? And now that the law was clear, their response was also clear. It was either clear obedience or clear disobedience. Let's read on. In verse 15, it says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess." So here we see Moses basically explain the choice that the Israelites have. He lays out their options. To obey God meant life, goodness, and blessing, but to disobey God meant death and evil. All right, as soon as I say that, some of you might think death, That's a pretty stiff penalty for disobedience, right? Every time I talk about that or hear that, I sort of think, wow, that's a little overly intense. But let's think about that for a minute. God created everything. He's the architect of life. Every living thing was His idea, including us. And by God's design, we had it pretty good. Out of all that God created, we were uniquely designed for a genuine and intimate relationship with Him. We have intellect, emotions, and will. That's basically what it means to be made in the image of God. And meaningful relationships are possible. And we were charged to have dominion over the rest of creation. Okay, we were His idea. He's the one that brought us into being. He's the source of life, the creator, and the sustainer. He's the one keeping us alive as well. All things that are living owe their existence and continued existence to Him. Okay, so if that's true, when we choose to disobey God, we're using that will to cut ourselves off from God, to cut ourselves off from the source of life. That's death. That's what it means. Does that make sense? And that's what Moses is saying here. To obey God meant life, but to disobey meant death. We see this in the world around us, don't we? In a way, I experienced this a couple weeks back. I'm a relatively new homeowner, and don't get me wrong, honestly, it's been really cool, a lot of fun. But there's one ongoing battle that has driven me nuts, okay? How many of you have done yard work or mowed the lawn when you were growing up? Yeah, a lot of you. I did too. And so I thought, you know what? We get this new house, I'm ready to rock it. I know what I'm doing, we're good to go. Lawn maintenance. I had that job for a while, so I should be able to handle it. But I grew up in the country, and things are a little different there than in the city. If it was in our lawn, we mowed it down. Doesn't matter what it was. Grass clippings, we didn't bag them up or anything. We just left them there. Weeds, we didn't spray or weed, or we just cut it down. Leaves, okay, you get the idea. We just mowed them up. Okay, that was it. The lawnmower, that's all we did. And if it was too big to mow down, we just stacked it up in a pile and then burnt it, right? Had a big fire sometime. All right, well, that's all great, but the rules in the city are different. They usually discourage uncontrolled brush fires. That's usually frowned upon. So I've been mowing the lawn, and I've been bagging up the clippings and then dumping them into this big yard waste dumpster. Thinking I'm doing great here. The lawn's getting better, looking nice. Well, I don't know if you know this, but when you cut grass off from its roots, it starts to die. No surprise there, right? But it actually takes some time. At first, it looks just like it did. But then later on, you start to see there's some signs that these clippings are dead. Well, this summer, we had a stretch of nearly nonstop rain. Did you guys experience that along with me? Like every single day, you're like, it's raining again. Here we go. Well, when it rains a lot, the growing things outside grow a lot. Okay? Some of these basic things about life that I'm learning. And so I had this huge dumpster full of yard waste. And I had a choice. I could put the lid on the dumpster, which is good because that keeps all that rain out, but the grass clippings themselves are a little wet, and it also keeps the heat in from the sun, so you have really hot, wet grass clippings that sort of create a nice little mixture of rotting stuff that stinks. Or I could leave the top off, and then that lets the moisture out, but it lets the rain in. So either way, you have a huge dumpster full of really unpleasant grass clippings that are dying. So I thought I'd outsmart the system. I put it half on and half off. It didn't work. It didn't work. It still let the rain in. So the yard waste company, they come every 2 weeks. So I had 2 weeks worth of this stuff. And I, like, you know, wheeled this thing out there that was probably more wet than anything and put it at the curb. And I learned that there's another rule about the city yard waste. Apparently, there's a weight limit for each yard waste dumpster. So if it's over that limit, they're not touching it. They're not lifting it for their own safety. It's probably a good thing. So they just left it there. And I had another 2 weeks of rain and mowing the lawn and throwing clippings. And so By now, okay, I'm not kidding. It sounds like I'm exaggerating, but this stuff is the exact same smell and consistency as cow poop. Okay? It's like a wet, brown mixture. And I have this huge bin full of it, and I have to break it up into little chunks. So I buy these yard waste bags, and I'm nicely putting them in there. Well, I try to rake them in, and it's the rake's not getting it done, and I'm a new homeowner. I don't own a shovel yet. So I'm out there in my backyard grabbing chunks of this stuff, putting it in the yard waste bags, and getting them nice and packaged neatly and under 50 pounds of weight in the five different things that we had. And I'm not kidding. I washed my hands a lot after that. I wore gloves, but my hands smelled like poop for the next 2 to 3 days. It was really bad. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about that. I was like, the grass looks so nice when it's out here in the yard before I cut it, and then it dies, and it is disgusting. In fact, there was a patch of lawn where I just had it on the lawn for a second, and after I got it all into the bags, that patch of lawn, like, died. And I was like, it was just grass. I don't know how that's even possible. That was a picture for me of what it looks like to be cut off from a source of life. And Moses is here basically making it clear that to obey God means life, okay? But to disobey means being cut off from that life that we were created for. And then he continued here in verse 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God called Israel to choose to obey him. It's kind of strange wording. A lot of times you think maybe we just should say God called Israel to obey him. That's true, but they had a choice, and he wanted them to choose to obey him. This was Moses sticking a fork in the road for the Israelites, calling them to make a decision. God knew that it was good for the Israelites to make a fresh choice to obey. Every day they had that choice, right? Would they obey God? Would they love God with all their heart, soul, and might? But this was also a strategic time to call Israel to make a decision. We said earlier, Moses was about to die. He had been through a lot with these people, and this was his last opportunity to lead them, to exhort them, and a fresh decision to obey God would help them to continue on after he was gone. And they were about to appoint a new leader in Joshua, and a fresh decision to obey God would help them submit to this new authority. And they were about to step out on a grand mission to go enter the promised land, and a fresh decision to obey God would help them walk in faith and dependence on the Lord. And so we see that God made his will clear to the Israelites so they could obey him. To obey meant life, and to disobey meant death. And God called Israel to choose to obey. So what does this all have to do with us? Well, we have it good. If it was clear to the Israelites through the Mosaic law what God's will was, then it's crystal clear to us today. Obeying God means believing in Jesus. We live after Jesus, who was the ultimate fulfillment of the law. In Romans 3, it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. The law revealed that we needed a Savior. And it was clear that no one has ever been or ever will be justified by their works, because we've all chosen to disobey God. Instead, we're justified by God's grace as a gift provided by Jesus' death and resurrection in our place. And we receive that gift by faith, by trusting in Jesus. Obeying God means believing in Jesus. That doesn't mean giving intellectual assent to some information about Him. It means turning and trusting. Turning away from our sin and choosing to obey Jesus as the Lord of our lives, and trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection to save us, to restore that relationship, that life that we were created for. I wonder if some of us here today need to just camp out in this section. The rest of what we're talking about is really secondary to this. Have you made the choice to believe in Jesus? You know, the choice of obedience and disobedience is just as much a matter of life and death today as it was for the Israelites. And I think in our culture, a lot of times we can tend to believe that Christianity and relationship with God is about being good and not being bad, or how good or bad you are, but it's not. It's about being dead or alive. In Ephesians 2, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." We were all dead in our sins and cut off from God, but Jesus came to give us life. Today, is this call, choose life. Some of us need to choose life by choosing to believe in Jesus. And just like it was good for Israel to be called to a decision, it's good for us. And maybe we need to let today be a fork in the road. Well, then for others of us, we've already chosen to believe in Jesus. Then today is a new opportunity to be called to a decision. Will we continue to obey God? Will we continue to obey Jesus today as the Lord of our lives? You know, I think it's really easy for us to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're obeying. We come to church on Sunday and hear a sermon. We learn how to talk about what it looks like to live for Jesus. We go to a small group. But hearing and talking is not actually the same thing as obeying. In James, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I think it's so easy for us to hear and talk and to think that we're obeying, but to not really be obeying. Today's an opportunity to think about that. Is that something we're doing? You know, I think this message today is coming at a perfect time for our church. It's a strategic time for us, like it was for Israel. Israel was about to go out on mission into the promised land, and it's about to be go time for us as a church. For you campus people, fall kickoff is right around the corner. And thousands of students are coming. You know that. Sounded like you were excited for that earlier. And we believe that God has us on a mission to reach the campus with the gospel. And your campus teams are setting out on a mission to go love and serve and reach out to the people on your part of campus. We're believing that God is going to do incredible things, change lives, but it's going to take some obedience on our part, some faithfulness. Today we need to be called to a decision. Will we obey Jesus now? Are we going to be hearers and talkers, or are we going to be doers who act, who put it into practice? And then for us city people, we're setting out on a mission to plant a city congregation. And we're believing that God would do a fresh, new work in the city. That we would fill up this auditorium with people from the city that we're reaching out to. People would come to know Jesus and be baptized in the city. That we'll love and serve this city. But that's going to take work and ownership and obedience to Jesus' call on our lives. I think today we need to let God's word call us to a decision. Will we obey Jesus? Are we going to be hearers and talkers, or are we going to be doers who act? Because Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Moses said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life so that you and your offspring may live. This is the heart of the Shema, to love the Lord with everything we've got. If we love the Lord, we will choose to obey Him. I thought it'd be fitting for us to close this series the way we've been doing every week, standing and reciting the Shema together. So if you guys are up for it and would be willing to stand up and then repeat after me, we'll close by saying the Shema one more time. All right, repeat after me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God.
You shall love the Lord your God.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
With all your soul.
With all your soul.
And with all your might.
With all your might.
All right, let's stand and pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this morning, this opportunity to close up this series on Shema, on the book of Deuteronomy. And we thank you that you close it up with this charge to obey you, this choice that we have to make. Thank you that you created us for this relationship with you and you allow us to choose. God, I pray today would be a day that we choose to obey you. Whether that's for the first time believing in Jesus, or if it's just a daily, how am I going to choose to obey Jesus as the Lord of my life now? God, I pray that you would help us to know what that looks like and to be people who don't talk about it, but who live it out. We pray all this in your name. Amen.